Liminality rhymes with criminality, an assumption laid on some folks due to the color of their skin. So much we take for granted, so many places where my white skin and privilege gets me in. It means I'm grateful when police arrive should my car break down. I trust they're here to help me. But I also know, though we may live in the same town, my black neighbors experience a vastly different reality, one that far too often ends in police brutality. It's way past time we end that duality. The waiting place in Dr. Seuss captures the feeling of living when all the ends are loose. COVID-19 quarantine, make sure every surface is clean. Distance learning, OMG, for my son to partake requires me, my full attention, all my focus, just to keep him in his chair, or five little monkeys soon will fill the air. Maybe it's because I'm older, or perhaps grief has made me lazy. But I am choosing grace for me rather than making myself crazy, which means most days lately, I just let him be. He's here and he is happy. That's what's most important now. When these teens of mine were in the NICU, I made myself a sacred vow to bring them home and keep them safe and make good come for more than just for me. While this pandemic rages on, I'll keep my family home with me. And so I sit and knit and watch in horror as events unfold on my TV. Protests in all 50 states, in cities that I know and love. Boston, London, Kansas City, Washington, D.C. Oh, what happened there in Lafayette Square? It makes my blood boil still. Protesters peacefully making their voices heard, marching in the waning sun. Families, some with children among them, people together, having fun. When without warning, bang! Flashbangs and tear gas canisters pop. Sudden violence drives the people streaming from the park. To what end? An upside-down Bible in an unpresidential photo op. You wonder why folks are angry or why they'd risk COVID to march? 400 years of suffering are coming up at last. Pain demanding to be seen and heard and witnessed in order to be grieved. Perhaps a place for us to start is for us finally to believe those who share with us their lived experiences, even if they differ from our own, and to act on the values we were taught were shared to expand those blessings to all. And before you say, it wasn't me who committed all those crimes, besides, that happened far away in practically ancient times, consider if those errors really were behind us, if we truly valued every life, then Derek Chauvin would not have been so nonchalant as his knee choked out George Floyd's life. The police knee upon Floyd's throat that brought his untimely end, revealed in vivid video that cannot be denied, truths that all our black friends have lived with all their lives. The protests are about George Floyd, yes, but also so much more. His name is but the latest in a wound that goes to our nation's very core. This injustice, then, is nothing new. It springs from the original lie at the heart of our nation's founding. If all men are created equal, why did so many of those who inked their names on those documents so lofty count human beings, chattel slaves, on their balance sheets as property? And why today, so many years since slavery's abolition, do we still treat people as less than because of the pigment in their skin? Young folk today, they get it. To them, it just makes sense. Equal protection under the law sounds pretty common sense. It should apply the same to everyone. For the fact that it doesn't yet, there is no defense. So they march through the streets and cities across the land, chanting Black Lives Matter, hoping soon that they'll be treated as if they do. Risking COVID? Yes, they were. But the risk just proves again how deeply, deeply vital these issues truly are. 4 years ago now, I wrote of the sunset-colored hats I knit and my fervent wish we could avoid the darkness into which then we'd just begun to slip. But that's not how life works, is it, friends? To bring about the day we long for, we must first survive this night. Again, it seems we must learn relearn the truth that might does not make right. We must become willing to acknowledge harms that continue to this day. Though the cause be rooted in ancient past, the pain is felt today. For us who may still find this shocking, our task is simple yet hard to do. We must look squarely into the dark and understand the harm our privilege cost. We don't get to coddle or appease our fragile white sensibilities when our neighbors are literally dying to be seen and treated as human beings. Do I now detect a pinkish gleam brightening the eastern sky? Dare we hope yet for the dawn? Or is this glow from fire set to burn to ash those centuries of harm? Even after this dark storm of hatred's passed, we must all continue to do our part. We each must do more than just not hate. We must actively work to dismantle the lies that we were taught. To counter this insidious evil through all its tricky whys, we must face it, focus on it clearly. Do not turn aside. Shine the light of truth upon it. Let a new awareness rise. Pull back the curtains that have hid the shames of generations past. Allow the cleansing sunlight in. See with newly humble eyes. And let the dissonance we now can feel between who we thought we were and who we actually are grow within us, adding fuel to our resolve to do what's right. A more perfect union is within our reach when our actions align to match our speech. To flatten this most vital of curves, reach up and grasp history. While praying and working toward the day, we may see the Baptist preacher's dream fulfilled when the home of the brave and the land of the free finally becomes what we've claimed it to be. By doing the work that may set us all free, may we bring to fruition the beloved community.